All right, turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read one of my favorite stories in the scripture. 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 24 just to get us started and quickly go over to chapter 7. But notice in verse 24 of 2 Kings chapter 6. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." What takes place is she tells the story about another woman came to her because they were all starving and said, "Let's kill your child and we'll eat it today, and tomorrow we'll kill my child." Now, I know as ghoulish as what that sounds, dear friend, they've got nothing on us because we put over 1 million babies to death every year by way of abortion in this country. Just simply on the altar of perversion and sex, we're willing to destroy lives. They were doing it for food. Both of those are barbaric, by the way. The second day, the woman that still had her child hid her child, and that's why they were crying to the king. Now, upon that, of all things, the king pronounces a curse upon Elisha the prophet and wants him put to death. Now, it's amazing how, you watch it. Before all this is played out, Christians are going to be blamed for the coronavirus. And Bible-believing Christians are going to be blamed for the coronavirus. Now, that's what's going to happen. But I'm not preaching on that so much today as we move down to chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" Sounds like a good title for a message. "If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Sounds like CNN is on the scene. They hear a noise and they report whatever they want to report, and it's not even the truth. How about that? "Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, and that we may go and tell the king's household.' So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, 'We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were.' And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within." Now let me show you what happens when fear gets in your heart. You see fear on everything. Now the king's just gotten good news. The good news is the Syrians are gone. There's enough out there to feed everybody. He's just gotten good news. Notice how he responds. "And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, 'I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us.' They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come up out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. He says, no, the Syrians have planned all this. Well, the Syrians hadn't planned it. Again, a wrong conclusion. And that wrong conclusion came because of fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why sit we here till we die? Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to hearts here in the auditorium. Speak to hearts of those that are watching on the internet right now, or those that are listening at WVMB, our radio station. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd use this word to bring somebody to Christ. I do pray that you would use this word, dear God, to get us busy serving you, not wasting this time. It is maybe a pandemic, and even if it was as bad as everybody says that it is, it's still a time that you've prepared for us to serve you. So, dear God, help us to be faithful in doing it. And we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, the reason behind this entire scene, Israel, the northern 10 tribes, was in sin. One of the things you find out in the Old Testament, whenever God's people got into sin, God would often send some heathen people down to put them into bondage to let them know that God was not pleased with what they were doing. Well, do you realize of the 19 kings that served in the northern 10 tribes after the kingdom was divided, it is said of every one of those kings, and they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. What a horrible thing. So as a result, they continued to have trouble after trouble after trouble. They would honor Baal and the prophets of Baal. It seems like the only ones that they didn't have any truck for were the prophets of God, for they constantly walked contrary to the prophets of God. Even King Ahab calling Elijah his enemy, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And then later saying, "It's thou that troublest Israel," when it was the king himself who troubled Israel. So God sent Ben-Hadad down. I just think that's a cool name for a king, Ben-Hadad. And one of the reasons I guess it stands out, when I went to Tennessee Temple University, there was a Presbyterian preacher in Chattanooga by the name of Ben-Hadad. I don't know if he is related to this guy or not, but nevertheless, there was a guy with that name that was pastoring in Chattanooga at the time. And the Syrians have got the city surrounded. People are starving. And the king is upset. And so he's going to strike out, not at the prophets of Baal that are part of his problem, but he wants to strike out at the man of God. He sends somebody down to Elisha to tell him that the king wants to see him. And the king's going to get him. And Elisha lets him know that, hey, tomorrow this thing's all going to be over with. And the man responds to Elisha and says, now listen, if God opened up heaven and dropped down food, it might change, but that's not going to happen. He says, well, you're going to see it, but you're not going to eat of those things. Sure enough, by the way, when word comes back the next day to all the people that there's all the food they want out there, here was this man standing in the gate of the city, and the people trampled him to death going to get what they could get. He saw it be exactly like Elijah said, but he got none of it. Now, the story that I want us to deal with today is this one with these lepers. These lepers are outside the wall of the city. They can't go into the city. And if they did happen to go in, they'd have to be careful to always put their hand over their mouth when anybody got anywhere near them and cry, leprosy. They had to wear a mask, their hand, and they had to cry, leper, leper. Leper, if they didn't do that and somebody got close to them and touched them, they could be put to death. So here they are outside the city. They've got the city on the one hand. They've got, on the other hand, the Syrian army that's out there. And they begin to reason with themselves. You know, if we go into the city, they're going to put us to death. If we stay here, we're going to die. There's no food for them. If we go over to the Syrians, just maybe, they'll give us something to eat. Or they'll kill us, and then we'll just be but dead. So why sit we here till we die? Let's go on over to the Syrians. Well, they get over there, and they find that God had already performed a marvelous work and gotten the Syrians out of there. It's amazing the stories of God's deliverance in the Old Testament for his people. There are times he would use a rumor, for instance, the first time to get Sennacherib to return home. Just a rumor is all it took. Another time he sent an angel to take out the army. I mean, it's amazing what God can do to provide for his people. But I want you to know, before God works miracles, he has to put us in a place where we need a miracle, so that we can finally start paying attention to him. Now, as I read this story, I see some real parallels here. I see some parallels both for these four lepers and lost people. And I also see some parallels from these four lepers and saved people. And really, this morning, that's what I want to look at. Now, I realize in this auditorium, I mean, we haven't been able to have as much reach out as what we've had in the past, to be sure. But we do have a reach out. We have people going out and knocking on doors. I realize that probably most of the people in this auditorium have made a profession of faith. But I guarantee you, there's a bunch of people watching who haven't. And a bunch of people watching who may not be sure if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. And so both of these is very appropriate that I want to cover. I want to cover the parallels between these four lepers and the lost, and the parallels between these four lepers and the saved. Number one, for the lost, notice they were personally defiled. They were lepers, enough said. They were going to die. They were going to die a horrible death. They were going to live practically a horrible death because leprosy, a disease that would eat away at the flesh and eat away at toes and fingers and even hands. It might even eat out an eye socket to where an eye just simply falls out. Leprosy, what a horrible thing to get. It was horrible in those Bible days. So that's what they had to look forward to. And as far as the people were concerned, yes, they were defiled. I got news for you. As far as God is concerned, we're defiled. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because we have sinned. Do you realize you don't have to do anything to go to hell? We are both sinners by nature and we are sinners by choice. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You say, but preacher, some men are worse than others. That may be to a point, but not in the eyes of God. For he says, for there is no difference. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We've got some orchards out here just west of town. And if you were to go out there to the apple part of the orchard, to the apple trees that are there, if you were to look up at two apple trees and one apple tree had one apple on it, and the other tree had 500 apples on it, nice and ripe, and they looked juicy. And someone was to say to you, which one of those apple trees is more of an apple tree than the other? Now, you'd be foolish to say, well, the one with 500 apples on it, that's more of an apple tree than the other. Oh, you'd be wrong. They're both apple trees all the way through. As a matter of fact, you take the tree before it even gets the first apple on it. It's already an apple tree. The reason apple trees bear apples is because they are already apple trees. You don't wait until they have an apple and say, oh, today it's an apple tree. No, it was an apple tree from the beginning. Dear friend, we sin because we are sinners. Sinners by nature and sinners by choice. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. We are all personally defiled. We have a heart problem. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So they were personally defiled. The lost sinner is personally defiled. Not only that, they would die where they were at. If they did nothing, they would die. Somebody says, well, I'm just not going to go out and do anything so I don't do anything wrong. You'll still die and go to hell if you don't come to Jesus. Because you are a sinner and the wage of sin is death. And the Bible says in death and hell, we're cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So they were personally defiled. They would die where they were at. Not only that, all that the city offered them was famine and death inside. If they went back into the city, well, famine was already in there. Those people weren't going to give away whatever they had. They needed that to live on. So all that they could get out of the city was death. By the way, all the lost person gets out of the world is more death. The world has nothing to offer you spiritually. Do all the good works you want to do. That's not going to give you eternal life. But it's interesting. The world might offer you money. You get all the money in the world and die without Christ, you'll still go to a sinner's hell to burn for eternity. I remind you of the story that Jesus told about the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. He said, and the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. He had all the money. He was fine with the money. By the way, he wasn't crying out for money in hell. His money couldn't keep him out of hell. He couldn't offer payment of any kind. Now the world offers sports. Man, this world is sports nuts. They go absolutely crazy over sports, but they're still looking for the next championship, the next big game, the next big play. They're still, and it never satisfies. They never get filled up. It just keeps going. The world will give you drugs to try to get you drugged out so that you don't realize how wicked of a land that you are in. It'll offer booze. It offers sex. It offers the adrenaline rush. As a matter of fact, I saw an interview just the other day with a man who has climbed the 14 highest mountains in the world. 14. He didn't start it till he was up in his late 20s or early 30s, climbing the mountains. And what happened was, the first one that he climbed, and I don't remember the name of the mountain, but it was the fourth highest mountain in the world. He had read a book by this guy about going higher or something like that. There might be another message in that someplace. But about the first man to climb that fourth highest mountain in the world. This man had not gone up well prepared. He still made it all the way to the top and back, but he got severe frostbite on his left hand. So bad that when he got down and they tried to treat him, didn't do any good. He finally had to cut off his four fingers himself. When he showed his hand in the interview, it was just nubs. That's all it was. And the interviewer said to the guy who did climb the mountain, that this guy that's climbed the 14 tallest mountains in the world, and he said, now I don't get it. How is that an incentive for you to climb that mountain? I mean, you still have your fingers of your hand. He says, yes, I do. He says, it's being prepared. But it's interesting. Climbing that mountain wasn't enough. He had to climb another one. He climbed, you name the tallest mountains in the world. He's climbed them all. And he feels like, but now he's climbed the 14 tallest mountains in the world. So what are you going to do next? Having to have an adrenaline rush. These people that have to have the adrenaline rush is jumping off a bridge tied to a rubber band. Boy, that's a great idea. Oh, but it's so cool, preacher. Not cool enough for me to risk my entire life on that. I mean, that a rubber band somebody else made. I wonder how many, I've not done this search. I wish I'd have thought about it now. I wonder how many people have died from doing that. I wonder how many people have died from, you read about these guys, these guys that jump out and they glide for a while. And this guy made 500 safe jumps. He died on 501. Guess what? He's just as dead as the guy who dies at 101. What a stupid thing to do just for a rush. Whoo, but it really gets me. Yeah, you got to do it again. And you got to do it again. And you got to do it again. The world offers you all kinds of things, but the end of it all is still death. That's what's going to happen. You take the woman at the well. Jesus said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Amen. Wow. Now that's the kind of water this woman said, that's what I want right there. These lepers had come to the place where they looked inside and saw nothing but death. That was certain. By the way, something else about these lepers that I believe is true of every lost person. They have a faulty view of the other side. I remember when I was lost, and I used to think, why would anybody want to be a Christian and have to go to church every Sunday, Sunday morning? I can't imagine. That doesn't sound like any fun to me. When I get a good sleep on Sunday morning. Why would I want to do that? Had a faulty view of the other side. I don't know about you, but I love church. I love being at church. I don't understand Christians who don't love being at the house of God. I don't understand that at all. When I got saved, I fell in love with Jesus, and I wanted to be where his people were at. And the Bible says we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. Oh, but I thought, you know, man, you wouldn't be able to smile. You have to frown all the time. You got to go to church, and you got to sing those old hymns. I love it. I had a faulty view of the other side. No fun. Never smile. Bad times. My goodness. Hey, not only that, their cry was, why sit we here till we die? They woke up to the death of the world and realized there was death in the world. Some people come to church out of desperation. They've tried the world. They've gone after their own ways, right and wrong. They realize their world is falling apart, but their faulty view of the other side makes them wonder if anything could possibly even be better. What does anything matter if this is all there is to life? Listen, that's the cry of a lot in the world today. They come to the end of their rope. Here's another parallel, by the way. God had done a great work and they hadn't realized what he had done. You know, they're sitting there reasoning with themselves. If we go into the city, they'll put us to death. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go over to the Syrians, maybe, just maybe, there'll be something there. But they might put us to death, and we're just as dead as the other thing. So why not? They would not have even talked like that if they'd realized God had done such a great work. God had run the Syrians out of there, and he did it with a noise. That's all it took, just a noise to get rid of them. God did it. What a marvelous thing. You know, when I got saved, the only reason, first of all, before I got saved, before I started going to church so I could play softball with the church team, I had no idea the great work God had done for me. I had no idea, first of all, that God had sent his son. I knew that Jesus was on the cross. We had enough Catholics living around us with crucifixes to know that the one on the cross was Jesus, but I didn't know he was the Son of God. I didn't know he died on the cross to pay for my sins. Didn't know that he was buried and rose 3 days later from the dead. I didn't know that all my sin payment had been taken care of and I could escape hell and go to heaven by simply taking Christ as my Savior. God had done such a wonderful work, but as a lost person, I didn't know what he had done. By the way, that's why the world needs to hear the gospel message. Amen. Because they don't really know. Even those that know that Jesus died on the cross, most of them don't have a clue why he was there. Don't have a clue how successful he was. The Bible says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son cleanses us from all sin. Amen. God had done a wonderful work and they didn't even know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My, that's powerful. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What a marvelous work. He conquered sin, hell, and the grave. Thank God. What a marvelous work. Not only that, when they got there, they found far more than they ever dreamed. You see, when they went over there, they were hoping just to get a little bit of food. They're hoping to get that. But my, all the stuff, it was there, it was free, they could just take it. After I got saved, I admit to you, the only reason I got saved was I didn't want to go to hell. That was it. I realized I was lost. I realized I was on my way to hell. I'd found out that Jesus died on the cross, paid for my sins, rose 3 days later from the dead. And if I'd take Christ as Savior, hallelujah, I could have eternal life. That was wonderful. But you know, when I got there, when I took Christ as Savior, I found out there was a lot more than that. I found that he made me a new creature. He gave me a new purpose of living. He gave me the presence of Jesus. He made me a child of God. He gave me new life. God's Spirit came to live within me. And I get constant communication with the Father, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. I get to talk to the eternal, only living God, my Father, through Jesus Christ. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You see, when I got there, I found that I had so much more than I ever thought possible. I didn't just escape hell. This is a marvelous thing. By the way, there's another one here too. After I got saved, after they went to the Syrians, God used them to be a blessing to many more. This is something they never thought of. They were going to the Syrians for themselves. But when they got there and found out the great work that God had done, they began to realize, whoa, we've got a responsibility. It's one thing for us to enjoy what God has given us, but we've got a responsibility to go back and let the people in the city know what's going on. And they went back and they told them. Think about it. They were a blessing to no one before they were spared. They were a blessing to multitudes after they were. You know, for most of the lost people, most of them don't have a clue about what God can do with them in their life to be a blessing to others. But you know, when you get saved and you get excited about the Lord Jesus, you get excited about serving Him, you automatically get a burden for others. Man, so long I went without knowing this. I remember when I got saved, there was another announcer at the radio station by the name of Denny Gore. And man, I stayed on him. I wanted to see him get saved too. He's a good guy. I stayed on him. And finally, he got saved. He's the first one I got to lead to Christ. I still remember his name. Haven't seen him. And matter of fact, I haven't seen him in over 40 years. But I thank God for the privilege. I wanted to see my family get saved. I was able to lead a brother to Christ, able to lead a sister to Christ. Eventually, I was able to lead my mom to Christ. I mean, we were just excited about that. As a matter of fact, let me show you a man who got excited after meeting Jesus. Another leper, by the way, over in Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Now, here's a leper. All he's got to look forward to is decay and death. But he meets Jesus. The Bible says in verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's all he's after. That's all he wants. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he, that's Jesus, straightly charged him, that's the man who was the leper, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing, for cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, when you think about the disciples in John chapter 4, they've been walking with Jesus. They've been seeing the miracles that Jesus did. They've been hearing the wonderful words that he said. In John chapter 4, they go into the city of Sychar, where all these people are at. And the only thing they bring back with them is bread. They don't bring one sinner, not one Samaritan, back to Jesus. Here's a leper. He's not been walking with Jesus. As far as we know, he just met him. He gets healed. And he goes out and tells everybody. As a matter of fact, Jesus told him not to tell anybody. He goes out and tells everybody. And he got so many people to come to Jesus that Jesus had to stay outside the city and deal with them in the desert places because there wasn't room. They didn't have a stadium there like all of our cities do today. One leper did all that. Now here, these men go back to Samaria. And they get all these people of Samaria to come out. I'm just simply saying, God used them more than they ever would have thought possible. And they hadn't even had a Bible Institute class yet. They hadn't gone off to seminary yet. And they're already telling everybody. Let me tell you something. You don't even have to go to some particular soul-winning program plan to get people to save. Just start telling people about the Jesus you met. And you would be surprised, if you're excited about it, how many people you could reach for the glory of God. Just let yourself be used of God. So here they are. They were used after saved. God used them to be a blessing to many. Now, I see some parallels between lost people and some parallels between them and saved people. What about saved people? Well, why sit ye here till ye die? There's nobody who has more than we have. We have a living hope. We have a cleansed soul. We have a new relationship with God. We have a living Savior. We have a prayer line to heaven. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. We have a living God. We have a powerful gospel. And we have the powerful Word of God. So why sit we here till we die? Well, preacher, there's a pandemic on. I know it. Still lost people around. You know, we got politicians. I just thought of this. But I think this is good. You tell me later if it's not, Brother Nelson, okay? We'll count on you to tell me the truth about this. All right? We got politicians today in the pandemic are willing to set aside the Constitution of the United States. But we've got Christians during the pandemic willing to set aside our responsibility to the Word of God. Now, as much as we get upset with these dictatorial politicians, these little dictators, setting aside our freedom because of a pandemic, how much more we Christians setting aside the command of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and doing everything we can to win the lost that Jesus died for? How much more are we going to have to answer to Him for how we've set aside His Word? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The command is still there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The command's still there. He hasn't taken it away. As a matter of fact, you look back in history during difficult times like this, you find that believers were more earnest in getting the gospel to people who were dying all over. And we've got different ways we can do that today that they didn't have. We got an internet. By the way, you got a Facebook page. Okay, you know I hate Facebook. You know I can't stand it. If you got a Facebook page, why don't you use it to reach the lost? If you're going to have one, why don't you use it to reach the lost? I mean, we tell people about everything but the best news of all. So why don't we use it to reach the lost? You got some other social media page? Use it to reach the lost. Get the gospel out. Tell people about Christ. Say, preacher, if I do that, people will think I'm crazy. They probably already think you're crazy. Why are you concerned about that? There are people for whom Jesus died that need to hear it. Christians are sitting by killing the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days. And I'm reminded of the hymn, how many are the hours that I have wasted, the time I've spent for Christ so few, because of all my lack of love for Jesus. I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I know I've got some problems with my mic, so just use this right here. Okay. Death will come, and what will we have to present before Jesus but a bunch of ashes? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. So is my problem here not with this mic, but with this down here? Okay, I got this off. That's why I was still hearing that, and that's why I wondered. Bible says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, though he himself shall be saved. Yet so is by fire, 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. You see, they had some good news. And these people were smart enough to go back and to share it. Why sit we here till we die? All right, let's say this pandemic is as serious as the worst prognosticator has prognosticated about. And it's going to mean death for just hundreds of millions of people. All right, then let's be more fervent at spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are growing in Madison. All these apartment buildings going up all over the place. Not just the ones down here before you get to 72 and the ones over there in that, whatever they call that place, it's on 72. But I was just looking the other day as I drove up those apartment buildings on the other side of 72. Just in our area, you're talking about thousands, thousands of people. And we've got a responsibility to get them the gospel. We need to be doing it. We've got tracts that can be passed out. Man, let's do it. Let's be faithful to God in our service for Him. Why sit we here till we die? Friend, if you're lost, there's no excuse for going another day without Christ. Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God doesn't want you to wait till tomorrow to get saved. He wants you to get saved today. He wants you to have eternal life today. He doesn't want you to go another day without knowing Him. You come to Him. Truth is, if you're lost, you may have some ideas about what it would be like to become a Christian. But I'm going to tell you this, it'll be far better than anything you've ever thought of. Getting saved is more than just escaping hell. And it's more than just going to heaven. It's so much more. And you'll find it if you come to Christ. Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God. For Christians, why sit we here till we die? He has prepared us for such a time as this. Let's be faithful in spreading the gospel now. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, have Your way in our hearts and lives right now. If there's one without Christ, I pray for those watching over the internet. Dear God, they could call us right here at Madison Baptist Church, 256-830-6224, and we'll have somebody answering the phone to tell them how they can have Jesus as their Savior. This morning, they can have it settled, eternal life in Christ. Maybe someone here has never been born again, young, old, makes no difference. They come to Jesus, You'll give them eternal life. Father, make that plain to their heart. Convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Turn them to You, I pray. Pray, Heavenly Father, for believers. May we determine in our heart we're going to be busy and faithful in getting that precious gospel out to a lost and dying world. We're not just going to sit here any longer, but we're going to be used of God to glorify His name. God, have Your way in every life today. I plead it in Jesus' name.